Can you hear me okay? All right. Oh, that's too loud. Let's bring me down a notch. I don't need an echo. Okay. Good morning. I am so glad to get to be able to talk today and see so many awesome, familiar faces who are visiting just to get to listen to me talk, which is a little bit, you know, intimidating, and to see so many of you who have been praying so much for this ministry. I really appreciate that. I give myself the permission to cry this morning, so just understand that will happen. Don't be uncomfortable with that. You know, as the Spirit moves, our emotions are often affected, and that will be a reality. So don't freak out. I'm fine. Okay. Let's start with a word of prayer, and then we'll get started this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you again so much for this church and what a blessing they are to me and their part in my life and the ministry that you've called me to. I pray, God, that as I'm speaking this morning, you would be speaking instead of me, that you would shut my mouth and that you would speak. And if there's anything that would hinder the work of your Holy Spirit, that you would remove that this morning, God. And I pray that in everyone's hearts, whatever you need to speak to them, that you would just begin doing that already, God. If there's anyone here that is called to missions who hasn't surrendered, I just pray that you would do that this morning, Lord God. Holy Spirit, I just pray so fervently with such a passion that you are wanting to call someone into missions today. And I just ask, God, that you would make that an easy surrender for them and let them just open their heart up to you in that way, God. And if there's anyone here that is supposed to go and do ministry, or they're supposed to stay and support ministry through their prayers or their money, God, that you would just make this a beautiful time of blessing and worship as we listen to what you want to say today. I just praise you, and I thank you for who you are. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. All right. So, as most of you know, I am currently a missionary in South Korea. I work as a university professor at a small private university in Busan, South Korea. Do we have stuff? We have stuff. Okay. Now, I will say that I had a different PowerPoint planned this morning. But for some reason, most of the pictures were corrupted when we got them here. So you're not going to get to see as much as I had hoped for. I apologize for that. I'm not sure what happened, but I will try to show you as much as I can. Most of you have seen me speak many times, so you know where I am and what I do, but some of you may not. So I'm just going to start back at the beginning, and if you already know the story, then you can just, you know, pray. So in 2012, while I was still at Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary, finishing my Master of Divinity in Intercultural Studies and Missions, God opened up the door for me to be able to go to Kyungsung University there in Busan. The current president of Kyungsung University was, at that time, the vice president of our seminary. And so through that connection, he invited any of us who were interested in using the education platform as a way to start doing ministry in Busan, that he would welcome us to come. So there were four of us that agreed to come at that time, Eric, Michael, Justin, and myself. Now, since that time, Eric has went to Nepal, and he is a missionary with his family in Nepal, in Kathmandu. Michael is back here in the States as a youth pastor, but Justin and I are still serving at Kyungsung in the original thing that we were doing. Now, what we do as professors is we teach lots of different things. So sometimes we get to teach theology. I love that. That's, of course, my favorite thing, is to get to teach the Bible and teach doctrine to students from all over the world. Because I teach in English, my classes are usually made up of international students and English-speaking Koreans. So I teach Indonesian students, Chinese students, Russian students, Vietnamese students, Turkish students. What else have I taught? I think that's all so far. Spanish-speaking students. I think they were from Peru. So in my classes, as I am teaching, I'm getting to see God then take these students and send them back to their home countries where they are working in their fields. I couldn't possibly get to all those countries in the same amount of time, which has been really amazing. For most of the years that I was there, I was working with Indonesian girls, teaching a women's Bible study. We went through several books of the Bible. We went through the book of John, Philippians, Revelation, Esther, Ruth, with that group while they were students. then they have all graduated, and majority of them have went back to Indonesia. Since that time, they have started working with their own people, teaching the things that they've learned. There is no more amazing thing as a teacher than to get to train people who then go do the ministry. Ah, so exciting. I love that. I got to watch these girls go from questioning their faith, from not being sure if they understood salvation, from not knowing how to study the Bible, to going home and teaching it. It's amazing. So I have little ministry plants I've been able to be part of all over Indonesia. Most of them are in Jakarta. Some are in Java and Bali. So that's pretty amazing. Some have stayed there in Korea and have moved to Seoul and are active in ministries there in Seoul, which is just so super cool. Currently, I am working with a women's Bible study of Korean ladies and Russian students. So the Bible study gets translated between Korean and Russian while I'm teaching, which is fantastic. You know, there's Bibles and like all these languages on the table, and everyone's like trying to discuss and ask questions and dialogue in multiple languages, which is just heavenly and fantastic. I love that. So as I try to talk about all these different things today, I hope that you understand that what I'm doing is very global in its impact. I'm getting to work with people from all over the world, getting to see how God is bringing people to Busan that then are scattering and taking the gospel and theology back to other places of the world, which is such an awesome and encouraging thing that I get to do. Now, I'm not sure which slides have continued, so let's just go ahead and start with the first, and I will try to go through them and talk as we're going. Bible, that's a good place to start. Okay, so of course, anytime we talk about being obedient in missions, this verse is classic, because it's the last thing Jesus said. Now, we think of somebody's words, their first words, what did they say when they were first born, or what was the last thing they said before they died? We are very aware of the importance of people's first and last words. Christ showed us how important missions was by making this the last thing he said before he left. He had taught so much theology. He explained the Bible. He made the Bible as he was existing, as he is the living word, and everything he said was scripture. And the last thing he gave us, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Now, if that doesn't make you feel something, you need to read it again. Okay? Jesus' plan, his call to us, is to go. That wasn't stay and preach the gospel. Now, I'm not judging, okay? Please don't feel like I'm like, you people aren't doing missions, bad people. It's not what I'm saying at all. What I am saying is Jesus said go. So if we're not going, we're disobeying Jesus. It's not me, it's Jesus. Okay? Ultimate authority on the concept. And he said this is the most important thing, is go and to love. Those were the two things. He said that the sum of everything, of all of the Old Testament and all the New Testament, is love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and of all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is the first and last commandment. Now, when we realize that all of the Old Testament, everything about it was love. If I love my neighbor, I will not kill my neighbor. I will not steal from my neighbor. I will not have adultery with my neighbor's whatever. That is extremely important to get the fact behind those rules, those laws, those concepts, as God is calling us to love. Now, if we love people, we're going to tell them that God loves them and that he has come to earth and that he died for them so that they don't have to be punished in hell for all of eternity for their being a sinner. All people are sinners. There is none righteous, no, not one. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it is our job to give that gift. And if we're not giving that gift, that is unloving. Now, Jesus, two things, is love people and go to people. He didn't say love people if they come to you. If they show up, love on them. That's not what he said. He could have said that. Just go about your life, do your thing, be loving, be kind to people, and if they show up, love them. He said love people so much and love him so much that we'll give up anything and go to those people. Now, sometimes that means your neighbors. Sometimes it's your family members that you know have no concept of the gospel, but you're afraid to talk to them because you don't want to cause conflict within your family. Sometimes it is that moment of you see someone and God just moves on your heart, this just burden that person needs to hear the gospel. And you're like, I don't know that person. I don't want to talk to them. Why would I just, excuse me, can I talk to you about your faith? We feel so awkward about that. And God is like, you are my hands, you are my feet, you are my voice. I have put my spirit in your body so that I am living on earth through you. And I want to talk to that person. Go talk to them. And we're like, I'm just not comfortable with that. That makes me feel, that's embarrassing. Now, when we realize that literally we are stopping the work of God by our embarrassment, that is the pride of self-worship. I am worshiping myself and my feelings and my fears more than I'm worshiping God. So, you know, I hope that as I'm talking this morning about the ministry that I'm doing, that you wouldn't just be entertained by international concepts. Like, oh, missions is so cool. Look at all the interesting stuff. That you would be praying and asking God, what are you supposed to be doing by the power of the Holy Spirit in you, in the world that you are in or should be going to? Because God has not saved your soul and put the power of the very Spirit that moves in the Father God, who moves and breathes in us. He did not do that just so that you could come to church, raise your hands, be happy for a moment, and then go about your work and never talk or think about him. Or maybe every day you're studying your Bible and you are just in love with Jesus, but you never think about sharing that love with someone else. Or maybe you do, and every day you are praying for the lost, and your heart is burdened for the loss of the world around you, and you want to, but you don't know how. Wherever you are in your current how you deal with the gospel, understand that God has called us to share the gospel, and he enables us. He says, whatever I call you to, I will do it. We don't have to let Satan make us afraid, embarrassed, awkward, uncomfortable, or silent. Because anything that keeps us silent from the voice that God wants to speak through us, that's a problem. And I hope that as you see what I'm doing currently, that you'll be challenged what you should be doing currently. You may not, probably, most likely, aren't called to come to Busan, South Korea, or to India, or to any of the other ministry things that we'll talk about today. But you are called to something. There is someone that you are responsible for their soul. And they may be in Africa, and you just haven't been willing to go to them. They may be next door, and you haven't been willing to go to them, or you haven't known how, or you've been afraid, or you just haven't thought about it. I'm not here to be condemning or guilt-giving this morning, like, oh, you people aren't doing the gospel. My point is, you can do the gospel. You are empowered to share the gospel. You are able to make a difference on this planet through the power of God and through his call on your life. There's no reason to miss that opportunity because you are able, and you should, and you can, and you could if you're willing to say yes to God. So let's talk a little bit more about Korea. Go on. Next slide, please. All right, so what exactly do I do? As I said, one of my primary things, my job, is as a professor at Kyungsung University. Then also, I am a member of Yongan Baptist Church, which is a large Baptist campus in Busan. It took me several years to find a church. The predominant churches are not theologically sound, nor are they a place that I could be connected to. So I went from church to church to church looking for somewhere that I could be connected and could do ministry and worship and be fed, not just do ministry only. So as I finally found a church, thank God, through multiple prayers and people helping, I have been led to Yongan, which is a very awesome campus. The pastors came to seminary here in the States. They are very passionate about the gospel and the lost and in teaching theology to their people. So one of the things that I do at the church is teaching a English for missions class, which right now is been with the youth. Well, what the youth are in Korea is anyone from high school to like 35. So in that class, anyone who's interested can come, and I go through how do you use your English to do ministry. Korea has a, well, Busan especially has a massive expat or foreign community who are English speaking. So training these young people to be able to share the gospel in English, to be able to teach a Bible study in English, to be able to do discipleship in English. But in the process of teaching them that, I'm also teaching them how to do it in any language. The concepts are the same. I have a translator who translates for the class so that they're learning it in both English and in Korean and can use it either way, which is a fantastic ministry, and I've loved doing it. And the pastors have asked me to make that a part of their Bible institute that the church offers. They do a training institute so that people that want to be elders, deacons, pastors, Sunday school teachers, Bible study leaders, anything, that they can go through this institute to know doctrine, theology, etc. So I will be teaching a full semester training class in that institute at my church, which is super cool. The ladies' Bible studies, as I mentioned, has been a huge part of my personal ministry, not connected to the school or work, just gathering ladies together in coffee shops or my house. Or right now we're meeting in a doctor's clinic. One of my students is a doctor, my doctor, and as I was in the clinic and was talking about, you know, what I do, found out that she was a Christian but didn't really understand much about the faith, and she asked if she could come to the Bible study even though she doesn't speak English. Obviously, that conversation was not in English. So as I talked to her about it, I was like, well, the concepts are difficult. I'm not sure at that time. I was like, you are welcome to come, and I will do my best to teach you. But at that point, I was only teaching in English. But then when my friend came back, finishing her doctorate in Germany, and came back to the country and wanted to work with me, she began to translate. And so my doctor found out that it was translated because we are both her patients, and we got her coming, and she was coming to the coffee shops and enjoying it, but was like, you know, I have this, you know, really nice clinic and big open spaces. It's quiet. There's no loud coffee shop music or, you know, closing time. She's like, just come to my clinic and we'll have the Bible study there. And her clinic is a really nice traditional style building that's like beautiful. It's like a museum. It's really artsy and beautiful. It's not like a creepy, gross, sick clinic. So it's really nice. So we have a beautiful space to be able to study in. And now her sister, who is a retired art professor, she's coming, and several women from the community are becoming a part of that Bible study. And then some students who still are in the area, Indonesian and Russian and such, that want to be a part of my studies also come. So that has been really exciting, seeing how God has allowed me to get more into the Korean community and bring people like my doctor and other teachers and such into the Bible study, which is super exciting. Now, I have on here, Add to Your Faith Ministries is one of the things that I have recently started, and this summer has been on pause while I have been summering. But Add to Your Faith Ministries is a website ministry that I have been building, where I'm either writing lessons on different doctrine and topics or doing video lessons. I've been teaching through the book of Romans with my women in Busan, and then I'm making videos of those for my Indonesian students who are out of the country. They still wanted to be able to be a part of our study. They were really sad to miss Romans, and they were all moving out. So they're like, can you please make videos? So I began making those videos and created this website as a platform for people to be able to access the videos, and it has went a lot bigger. People have been sharing with people. I've got people logging in from different places in Europe and multiple places in Asia, and it's been exciting to see how many people are interested in studying more about theology and doctrine, and I'm hoping that I can be able to expand that more. So, of course, for you, if you are interested in being a part of that and praying for that and even learning from it, then I can get you that website. I think I have a picture somewhere in here that may have made it for what that is. I share it on Facebook, and just generally is its own standalone website. So you can be a part of that if you are interested. The discipleship. Now, this is something that you may not really know how to do, or you might, but discipleship is such an important part of any missions concept. Discipleship means to train. When you are talking to someone about the gospel in whatever area God calls you to, you can't just be like, Jesus loves you, he died for you, you need him, do you want him? Yes, I do. Pray with me. Bye. Can't do that. Someone receives Christ, you cannot just be like, I am so excited, that person became a Christian. Bye. No, you cannot wave goodbye to somebody, all right? When we share the gospel, there is a responsibility to pour into that person the training that they need. Paul talked about Timothy as a son, as he discipled him and trained him how to be a pastor. He thought of him as the responsibility a father thinks of his son. When you think about sharing the gospel, that may be one of the reasons you don't do it, is you don't want the responsibility for someone's soul. So that's just lazy, and we'll call it what it is. We have to be willing to do the work of the gospel. It's not just when Jesus in the Matthew version, that was the Mark version of the Great Commission that I showed. The Matthew version, the full thing Jesus said is, go into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching them all things that I have commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit. And remember, I'm with you always to the end of the world. Now, that's the way we do the gospel. It's not just go. Me just showing up in Korea was not being a missionary. I'm here. That's not how it works. And I didn't know what to do. When I first got there, the president who had asked me to come was very hands-off. He's just like, do your thing. I'm like, what's my thing? And I didn't have a church I could be involved in. I wasn't teaching any theology. I was only teaching English at the time. I had no connections to be able to disciple anyone. I couldn't speak the language. I couldn't read the maps. I didn't know where the grocery store was. They literally dropped me off in an empty apartment and said, have fun. Now, that's one of the realities of missions, is that you have to be flexible, you have to be willing to struggle, and you have to learn. You have to be humble, ask lots of questions, and ask for a lot of help. And that's not different for you, wherever you are. If you're proud and you don't want to ask for help, maybe you're afraid to come talk to dad or any of your Sunday school teachers or any leaders and say, I want to know how to share the gospel, but I don't know how. Maybe you're embarrassed. You think you should know, and you don't know, and you don't want to admit you don't know. That's just pride. As a missionary, I had to learn to be humble and be like, how do I use the bus? What? Where's church? Is this milk? I don't know. Is this milk or not? Like, I can't tell. You know, like, you just have to be like a child and enter into a community and say, God, I don't know what to do. People, I don't know what to do. Please help me. And you, if you're going to obey Christ in the places you are, you have to be humble and say, Jesus, I am willing to share the gospel. I am willing to disciple, and I'm willing to say I don't know how if I don't, and to get that information from whoever I can. Now, when Jesus said to teach them all things, whatever I've commanded you, he actually meant that. So that's discipling. Baptizing them is getting them into a local church, but that is not the only thing he said to do. He said, go to them, preach the gospel to them, get them baptized, get them into a local church, and then teach them all things. Now, did he say, get them baptized, and then someone else will teach them all things? Give them to dad, the pastor will just take care of them? No. I'm going to evangelize by just inviting people to church. Come to church with me. Yes, point for me, I just evangelized. No. When Jesus told us to do that, is a full responsibility to share the gospel with them, to bring them to church, to get them involved in the local church, and to also be responsible for them learning how to be a Christian, to walk with them like a baby and say, this is what we do with sin, and this is how we read our Bible, and this is how we pray, and this is how we do daily life, and shine Jesus out. Like, that has to be a one-on-one training, which is what discipleship is. So as I work with these people, discipleship is a really big part. It's just living life with them and letting them be a part of who you are at any point and showing them how to be a Christian at that point. So, like, my translator is one of the girls that I have really spent a lot of time discipling, several years. She's been to all my theology classes. She learned everything I could teach. Till now, she is teaching with me as my translator, and I get to watch her occasionally get ahead of me and pre-teaching before I can get there, because she already knows where we're going and what the right Bible verse is to use. And she's really becoming a good teacher, which is so exciting. That's the point of discipleship, is bringing someone to the point that they are able to go get their own person that they are sharing the gospel with and that they're pouring their lives into. I have traveled with her. She's living in my home right now while I'm here taking care of my animals. These are people that you are responsible for, that you are saying, this is my family now, and I'm going to take care of them and show them how to love Jesus. Discipleship is responsible. It is difficult, but it is beautiful. when we are willing to do whatever it takes to help someone else, then God blesses us with that Hebrew word hesed, that joint blessing where I am being blessed by God because I am blessing you and you are being blessed in the blessing. That mutual experience, a shared blessing, is such a beautiful thing. No one who is discipling or sharing the gospel should ever be arrogant and think, look what I am doing. I am giving you Jesus, like a Care Bear from back in the 80s with a rainbow shooting off its chest at somebody. I am giving you God. No, that's not what happens. You need Jesus. They need Jesus. You're sharing that together. You need a blessing. They need a blessing. God blesses you both as you work together. You have to be humble. You have to be generous. You have to be kind. You have to be willing to work. But if you are, if you surrender to that, then God is going to empower you and encourage you and give you such grace and such joy at watching someone experience the baby steps of the gospel and then grow into someone who really understands and loves the Lord. Discipleship is a beautiful thing. Now, the VBS that's there, I've also had opportunities to work with other churches. This time last summer, there's a church in the community who asked me to come and basically run a VBS for them. Like, they're like, we want to do it. We want to be in English. We don't know what to do. So what Mom works with, the Child Evangelism Fellowship, has a really great program for how to share the gospel easily. It is called the Wordless Book. It is the yellow, black, red, white, green colors, the five colors that you can use with any person of any age. And I teach that to everybody. I do it in my theology classes. I do it at my church. I do it in discipleship because it's so basic. It's so easy to share the gospel. And when you use that method with someone, they are then able to use it with someone else. Because again, it is very reproducible. So I said, let's teach the children how to share the gospel. And they're like, what? You want to what? I'm like, they're like, they're children. I'm like, yes. Shocking. They can love Jesus too. They're like, no, we should just teach them something like, you know, God, I don't know, Bible. I'm like, those are big words, you know? I'm like, yes, God, Bible, prayer, Jesus. Let's teach something specific. And they were just really not for it. They had a hard time accepting the fact that we should teach the children how to do the gospel, not just speak something. They're like, they're too young to even be saved, let alone share the gospel. I'm just like, hello, Jesus. We were in a coffee shop, and I just laid into that pastor. I was like, Jesus said, let the little children come unto me. You better not stand between that person and Jesus. You know, and they're just like, okay, all right, we'll do it. I'm like, thank you. So we planned a program, and I taught them how to teach the children the gospel. And then I came in and got to teach the program. The children did all kinds of, they made wordless books. They made bracelets with the beads. They did all kinds of art projects. They had a cake that was in the wordless book colors, and they went all out. It was a wordless book day. And the kids were just fantastic, and they loved it, and they were memorizing the Bible verses. We were singing the songs. It was just fantastic. God has given me so many opportunities that I never expected. Like someone just be like, hey, come help our kids at our church. I don't know you. Sure. there's a church in my community that's near my home that has asked me to come and speak several times on basics of Christianity. They're like, we want to understand salvation and the Bible. We don't know those things. I really didn't. I had visited that church when the former pastor had been there, and he was extremely non-biblical. He was teaching things like God and the Bible and Allah and any other God are just all the same force, and you can worship them any way you want to. It was good stuff. So, you know, as I said, well, I'll never be back at that place. You know, they're crazy. They called me one day and said, you're a theology professor. I'm like, yes, I am. They're like, would you come and lecture to us about theology? I'm just like, I'd be glad to. Yeah, so during the summer, every week I went and was able to teach them all the basics. What is sin? What is salvation? What is the Bible? Etc. And just went through the doctrines of the basics. And that church has become very strong. They now have an amazing pastor who is a North Korean missionary working out of South Korea. He has a really great school ministry with North Korean refugees. He's passionate about the gospel, very biblical, and that's right there in my community now. And I feel like God let me be a part of that because when they didn't have a pastor and they didn't know what to do, and I was able to go teach them these basics, who is Jesus, what should you be believing? That they then were looking for a pastor that was so biblical. And I'm like, yes, thank you, Jesus. I got to be a part of that. Unexpected, you know? That was a text message I didn't think I would be getting. God has just continued to open these kind of things up, and it has been super amazing. Now, I haven't made it past my second slide, so let's actually look at something. I apologize. Next slide, please, Mr. Jeremy. Whoops, that's the church. Okay, keep going. That's our youth pastor. This is the pastor that is over all of the people that I minister to. The church is very large, and so it's divided up into sections, and he is over all people like 16 years old to 35, and that's who I'm doing the ministry with, and so I get to work with him. His wife is precious. Their daughter is just adorable. Such a cute family, and I've been able to get to know them. They don't speak English at all, but they are just super excited about English ministry and are inviting us to start an English ministry program, an English children's program, and the missions program. And I'm really enjoying getting to work with this pastor. Let's keep going. Next slide. This is one of the worship services for that age group. Let's keep going. This is my missions class. You see over here on the your right, that's Eugen. She is the girl that I'm speaking of that I've discipled so much, who's my translator for everything now. All these guys have been fabulous. This one is 17 years old, I think, and this one's like 30-something. So that's the age range in the class, and they're just super fun. It was kind of small that day. All right, keep going. And then when Santosh came to present about India and the ministry there, this was the class that was the larger little bit version. That's about as big as my class has gotten so far. All right, let's keep going. Again, there we all are, happy people. Let's keep going. Okay, I've talked about this. Did any of the pictures live through the corruption? Let's keep going. Yes, okay. So Eugene, again, my translator, and then the two girls in the back are Indonesian, and this girl in the front is Russian. These are a Christmas party at my house for, this is not all of my girls, a lot of them couldn't come, and there were more there that weren't in the picture, but you can kind of see who I get to work with, which is awesome. All right, let's keep going. This is the logo for my Add to Your Faith Ministries. You'll see that on my Facebook page or on the website that it has. When you see that, you know you've gotten to the right place. All right, let's keep going. One of the things I've seen that I wanted to mention about my website ministry that's been super cool is people have been using the videos I'm making to actually teach other people. Eugen had a person that she was discipling, and so she sent me this picture one day, and she's like, hey, we're studying the Bible together, and I'm playing your video, and we're talking about it, and I'm translating it, and we're going through Romans together. And I was really excited. Like, that is so cool that God is using this as a curriculum for other people. But I also kind of corrected her a little bit. And I'm like, I'm glad you're using my video, but you need to start teaching on your own. You don't need me as a crutch, you know? It's time to, like, get out there and make your own lessons. But she's not quite ready for that yet. And I'm excited that there is this curriculum that can be used. All right, keep going. Okay, next section. Good. So that's Korea. Okay, good. I'm all right. Korea is amazing, and I love it, but you are all aware that right now my life is in transition, and as much as I have been so excited about the ministry in Korea, and God has been using me there for 5.5 years, and it has grown to where I know the language better, I'm able to function without needing as much help. You know, I can actually do most things, go to the doctor by myself without a translator. That's fantastic. Go anywhere by myself, okay. You know, use the taxis, be able to talk to my landlord when he comes over in Korean. Like, my language levels have finally gotten to a place that I function, and it's great, really great to actually speak the language where you live. I'm able to do my work, and it's a little bit difficult sometimes in the situation. You know, I'm the only female in my department with 20 to 40 other male professors. We share a tiny office, and that can be awkward sometimes, but God has given me grace with that, and I've seen a lot of them become much more aware of their lostness and respecting me as a Christian, and I've seen that develop in a lot of ways that has been cool. Been praying for them, and there's two or three other Christians in our office, and all of us have been trying to, like, the last 5 years kind of move them from crazy, bad mouth, they'll say anything people, to ones that are respectful and aware of their lostness a little bit more. I would like to see some of them actually be convicted of their sin and be saved. They're not there yet, but there has been a progress, which is exciting. the work, my home. I love my home. It's amazing. I have the best apartment on the planet. When I first moved there, my living quarters were terrible, as you know. It was really difficult. I basically lived in a closet. But then now I have a normal apartment with like a living room and a kitchen and a bedroom, and it's amazing. It's at the mountain on one side. I can walk to the waterfall in just a few minutes outside of my house, or I can go the other way and go down to the beach. Absolutely beautiful. I love my home. I love my church. I love the ministry that I'm doing. But God seems to be moving some transitional stuff in my life, and I'm not sure what that's going to mean. So I want to look at this verse, which is, nope, go back, I haven't read it yet. Okay. I actually failed to put the actual reference. This is from Romans chapter 15. And thus, I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand, which is a quote from Isaiah that's used in Romans by Paul. Now, I have often talked about my burden for the unreached people groups of the world. There's 458,000 villages in India that have no exposure to the gospel. In that 458,000 people, villages, it's about 800 million to a billion people. Now, on the planet, there's 1.7 billion people who are completely unreached, but most of them are in India in those 458,000 villages. Now, those numbers are a little bit hard to wrap your mind around. It's more than the population of America, I think. You know, it's really close to that, of people who have no way at all of hearing that Jesus exists. Let that sink in. Unreached people means, in general definition, they are unreached. No one has reached towards them. Now, in some countries, the unreached are those who had the gospel at some point, and either because of political situation, government issues, or other religions like Islam, there is no way for them to become a Christian. But in these villages in India, the actual issue is that there is nothing in their language. They cannot read the Bible in their language. There is no church in their area. There is no Christian that they can talk to. So I am very moved by that, you know, that these are people who are dropping into hell every day. As the people in these villages die, they have died with no option of knowing about Jesus. Now, of course, we would like to think in a very Western mindset that all people are equal, so therefore all people have equal chance with God. But that's not true. Jesus, well, God, said that it's not my will that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. God's will is that all people have a chance to repent. And he said that's his will, and he told us how to do that. Now you go and you tell them so that they can repent. Give them that option. And we say no. I will not go. So, those unreached people groups are unreached because of Christians' disobedience, not because God doesn't want to save them. So when they go into hell, they're not going into hell because God is unfair or because they are unloved. They go into hell because God made a plan and Christians say, we don't like your plan. Now, a lot of this happened a long time ago. In the early times of Christianity, there was a lot lower population on the earth. If all the Christians had obeyed and everyone had shared the gospel, then the whole earth could have been reached more easily. There's a lot more people now. But that does not give us an excuse to not share the gospel. Now, it can be really daunting, this thought of, okay, a massive part of the planet don't know that Jesus exists. They have no option. So what do we do? How do we get them that option? And that is something I would like to be a part of. And I think all of us would like to be a part of in some way. The reality that America needs Jesus is very real. And South America needs Jesus. And Europe needs Jesus. And Asia needs Jesus. And Oceania needs Jesus. The world needs Jesus. That's a reality. So every Christian on every part of the planet can say, well, this is the only place that needs Jesus. Because they can look around and all their neighbors are lost. Or all the children in the communities don't know of God. Or all the elderly are dying without Christ. That's a reality all over the planet. India has 10% Christian. Korea has 10% Christian. But Korea has a lot less people. So that percentage is a lower amount of people. But it's still just as needy for the gospel. If we actually had an authentic percentage for America, I wonder what it would be of actually born again, Bible-believing, truly going to heaven Christians. Now, the world is in desperate need for Christ, and the end of times are obviously near. We are much closer to the judgment than we've ever been before. And there's many more people on the planet than there's ever been before. So the need for Christ is greater now than it has ever been. And our job to be a part of that is extremely important. We don't have the excuse to just live our lives. I just want to go to my job and live in my house and drink my coffee. I understand. It's very tempting for me in my current situation. I have a really good job, has a retirement plan and insurance. I'm able to do incredible ministry. I get to live in one of the most beautiful places on the earth. It'd be really easy to be like, I just want to stay here and be able to run down the coffee shop and do discipleship and just live easy. But, you know, I don't want to take my ease and say I have everything stored up for my future while the rest of the planet's falling into hell. I think it's very easy for us to become complacent. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. My parents are saved. They're going to heaven. My friends are saved. They're going to heaven. We're good. We can't do that. We can't let the love of money, the desire to have better things, the push for a better home and a more comfortable retirement keep us from making a difference. We can't let our fear of the unknown. That's a big one. Believe me. I had no idea I had so much fear until I started dealing with going to a fearful place. I really thought I was cool. I mean, I've been all over the planet. I've done all kinds of crazy, like go into the villages, have to pee on a rock, you know, like get the parasites. I've had to do all that. And it's like, it's fine, whatever. But as I've gotten older and much more comfortable with my corner coffee shop, going back into the parasitic-rid villages with no plumbing is a lot more difficult for me now. So I understand. It's not about adventure. It's not about travel. It's not about the romanticism of international unknown things. It's about saying, I'm scared and I'm poor, but I'm willing to give up whatever God says is necessary to keep somebody out of hell. Because, again, we are the hands and feet of Christ. God came to earth in human form one time, and he did his job. He saved humanity. And then he said, now go give it to everyone. I will live inside of you, and I will empower you to speak my words, and I will give you my touch for them, my love for them, my compassion for them. He was multiplying himself in us to go across the entire planet. So anything we do that keeps that from happening is bad. And anything that we do that makes that more possible is going to have a blessing. So what does that all mean right now? Okay. Go ahead and go to the next slide. Yes. There is an organization that is called LOAM, Love One Another's Ministries, which is working with the Baptist Association in Orissa, India. This is one of the largest unreached areas of India. It's very, like, traditional. A lot of India is very modern. You look at Mumbai, even Delhi, Calcutta, the main cities, and they have Starbucks and KFC and Pizza Hut. You know, they are westernized, they are modern, they are what's publicized on the BBC. That's the parts of India that we mostly know about. But places like the state of Orissa, which is southwest side of the country. Time and directions, not my thing. I don't teach those. That part of India, that is a very unreached area. And this organization, which works with International Gospel Outreach Incorporated, which is the nonprofit here in America that the funding goes through, they are working with orphanages, schools, church planting and the unreached people groups, pastor training, medical and eye clinics, and then what's below the thing is Taylor education. This is a really great organization that I'm becoming more and more familiar with. The orphanage is obvious. It's an orphanage. We know what that is. The schools are because there is no English-speaking schools in this region. So the children only learn local dialect, local language. And then, therefore, without speaking English, they cannot go to universities because in India, the universities are taught in English. So without education, it continues the cycle of poverty, and problems in these small rural communities. So in order to, because it's illegal to share the gospel with a Hindu in India, and these are Hindu people, there has to be community things being done to give them permission to be in the community. So things like coming in with medical and eye clinics, building schools, building wells, teaching the women how to do tailoring so that they can have a job and support themselves. It is still a very gender-divided culture, and if a woman's husband dies, then she is unable to support herself. So the ministry is going in and teaching them sewing so that they can have they can sell things to be able to support their children, which is a very important, you know, aspect for women. Now, go to the next slide. The reason I know about this is because I'm engaged to the director of this program. Yeah. I think most of you know, but we'll just go there for a minute. Santosh Bardhan is the pastor that is directing this program, this ministries. They've planted 20 different churches in this region, and he's in charge of like getting them all their funding and helping building all those churches while also building the orphanage and the school and all that kind of thing. So I began talking to him last year as a ministry partner. He came to seminary here in the States, and because of our mutual friends who are pastors and missionaries, I was connected to him to be praying for their ministry. And as a missionary, he wanted to be praying for what was going on in Korea and be able to be aware of that. So we began talking, and we just kept talking, and then we ended up engaged. At this point in my life, I am trying to be quiet and see what God is leading to. We are praying together on if God would have us continue with the ministry in Korea right now or completely focus on the ministry in India. Due to a little bit of difficulty getting married, we're still working through that. As you know, my marriage was supposed to be here August 12th, and all of you were so gracious and so kind and doing everything you could to help and organize and decorate and cook, and it was beautiful. And, you know, I don't think I could have been blessed more if the wedding had actually happened. Knowing that love, knowing that care from this church has been such an incredible blessing, and I really, really appreciate that. And I really wish that he was here with me today as we had planned and was speaking about India himself, and yeah, that would have been great. But it didn't happen. You know, the visa was denied for because they said there was not enough proof that he would actually leave America once he was here. We explained the ministries and where we're going to live, but they didn't care. So God did not allow us to have favor with the embassy, and he is not here. So at this point, we are just praying about what God's timing is and what he'd have us do so that we can get married and be able to do the ministries together. I will be going to India August 7th. Through the 17th. I'm going to be spending 10 days down there getting to go visit the different ministries, be able to go to the orphanage and go to the school and be able to meet his family. He's a lot. His father is a Baptist pastor, and his three brothers are all Baptist pastors, and his four brother-in-laws are all pastors and missionaries within the Baptist Association there. So they're a very mission-minded family, and I'm excited to get to know them more. Please pray for us. In this, both of our ministries are extremely important, but what's more important is doing what God wants us to do. So we're trying to get to a point of open-handedness, to not cling to any way of doing ministry, but be open to what God is calling us to together. We know that God is calling us to be married, so in that, there is a ministry that we can do together, and so we're looking for that. And it may be, you know, in Spain or something. We're not sure. So just please be praying for that we can have that clear direction. And I am passionate about the Unreached People Ministry, and he is passionate about the Unreached People Ministry, so it's probably logical that that's what we're going to end up doing. But again, just pray for that. I'm excited to see how God leads us and how he allows us to be able to do ministry together and what's going to be happening before I see you again. Hopefully, before I am back here in this pulpit doing another report on ministry, I will have my husband with me. That would be fantastic. But it may not. So just pray for God's will. Pray for direction and clarity, and continue praying for both of these ministries. Next thing. This was just more about the Indian ministry, what I've already explained, and that picture, which came out unclear, it says their people are hearing the gospel. So in one of the villages where they have been doing work, they were able to gather so many people together, often with the Jesus film or through the eye clinics and medical clinics, that the people will be open to hearing the gospel, that it's their choice, so therefore it's legal, which is really good that God is allowing such movement. Go ahead and go to the next one. Unfortunately, the other pictures that I have from India aren't there, and I was really excited because 3 weeks ago, they had a massive baptism. There were 60 people that were baptized in the river, and it was a beautiful, beautiful thing to see, and I was hoping to be able to share those pictures with you, but at any rate, Korea, we have training, teaching, discipleship, and evangelism. In India, we have unreached evangelism, church planting, pastoral training, orphanage, school, and community service. Pray for these things. Pray for these two ministries and for what's happening in both countries and what God would have us do, because it's a desperate thing for someone to fall into hell, and it's a beautiful thing to be able to give them that lifeline of Jesus to be able to rescue them. Okay, go ahead and go to the next. I do want to be able to say thank you. You as a church body are so generous. You pray for me with such faithfulness. And I know that, you know. And my friends that are here that are not a part of this church, family, I know that you are praying for me with such a passion and a consistency and a faithfulness. And that is powerful. There is such a power in prayer because God is powerful. And we are saying, God, open the doors of blessing. And he does. Now, he says, we have not because we do not ask. So if I never ask you to pray for me, and you never ask God to bless these ministries, then God would be willing and ready to bless, and it wouldn't happen because we didn't pray. So knowing that you are praying, and that it is faithful, and it is consistent, and it is powerful, I know that's why God is doing such great things through these ministries. And I can't wait to see what more God does as you open up the gates of heaven with your prayers, and we see how God moves in my personal relationships, in the joining ministries, and in everything that's going on in both countries. And I really deeply appreciate that. And of course, I appreciate your generous financial support. You know, you pay for my plane ticket to be able to come home, which is really a blessing. God always provides for our needs, and you get to be a part of being a part of my needs being met and how God wants to provide for my needs. And that is awesome, and I really appreciate that. And I know that if this Indian ministry continues the way I expect it to, it is a very needy ministry. They want to do so much more. You know, there's so many more people, but they have to pay for the pastors to be able to get educated and to have their churches and be able to support the children in the orphanage and be able to build the school so there's education and get them uniforms and everything. Like, everything costs a lot of money. And so pray about that as well and what God would have you do about global missions. Because God has, like I said, he has called us so that the ones who have not heard can hear. And he says, go unto all the world. But how can they go unless they are sent? You know, you are a part of sending me in my going. You are a part of that ministry because of that. It's all very organic. It's all connected together. I am willing to go. You empower me to do it. God is the one who does the work. It's beautiful. And I'm so blessed by that I know that I can come here and say, you are a part of this ministry. You are making it happen. You are one of the ways that God says these people will hear the gospel. And I love to be able to say that and give that to you as an opportunity to be a part of what God's doing. And I hope that as you think about missions today, that you are convicted of something. I hope you're not just sitting there being like, oh, that's cool. Good for her. Because this is not about me and what I am doing in ministry. This is about what God is doing through me and what he wants to do through all of us. All of us should be able to stand up in this church and say, over this year, this is what God has done through me. I have shared the gospel with these people in my community. I have been able to disciple family members to know God better. I have sent money to international missions, and I have gone on mission trips, or I have prayed every day for these things that God is making happen in my prayers. Everyone should be able to stand up and give a mission report, not just me. It would all look different. We all have different ministries. But we all have to be obedient to what God is wanting to do through us. Now, he may be calling you to actually be one of the people who go. You're like, no, don't say it. I'm going to say it. You may be called to leave America. Don't be afraid of that. You're not too old. You're not too young. You're not too rich. You're not too poor. You're not too untrained. Whatever excuse Satan would throw up in your face, as soon as you think of that conviction, it's wrong. So just let that sink in. Satan has no right to tell you any reason that you cannot obey Christ. I have been praying a lot about speaking today. And that is something that every time I've prayed, I have just felt that moving of the Spirit strongly that someone needs to surrender to being a missionary. I remember when it was my day to surrender. I was 10 years old. I had been studying about missions through the church children's program. And I had read some of the required books about missionaries. And every one I read, I was just so convicted that there were people that were making such a huge difference on the planet. And I wanted to be a part of that. But whatever, I was just reading a book. But then one night in church, it was such a clear call that God said to me as a 10-year-old child, I want you. I want you to go. Will you surrender? And I knew clearly that that's what God was saying to me. And I had no doubt that I did not have the option to say no, that it would be disobedience against God. Now, some of you as children, God may be saying that to you. Some of you as adults, God may be saying that to you. Some of you as senior citizens, God may be saying that to you. But somebody is everybody. Jesus didn't give the Great Commission to a single missionary in a church. He gave it to us all. You are called to something. Ask God what it is. Pray and ask the Lord, Lord, what are you calling me to do? Where do you want me to share the gospel? Not, do you want me to share the gospel? No. Where do you want me to share the gospel? Who do you want me to share the gospel with? Open my eyes to see those that need you. Open my heart to remember to pray. Give me the money to give to others to make it possible. Ask God to do in you what he's already wanting to do, and he will. And you will be blessed, and the world will be blessed. And Jesus will be glorified, because we will be doing together what he wants. We'll not be missing out. We won't be wasting our lives. The point of our life is to give glory to God. The point of our life is to obey him. Obeying him is loving others selflessly and spreading the gospel. And the ones that we share the gospel with, teaching them all things and getting them involved in the local church. That's all of us. So I have been really praying for you as you would be listening to this today, that God will be showing you clearly what it is he is calling you to do. You see what I am called to do, and you are praying for me in this call, and I am so blessed by that. But I am praying for you in your call. I'm praying for this church and for all of you as individuals, that you can have the peace and the joy and the blessing of following what God wants you to do. I'm really grateful that you've let me be able to speak today and that you've been so attentive and listening and knowing that it's your true, honest hearts that you care and that you're a part of this. And that is a huge and massive blessing to me that I can't express. You know, there's no way of saying how much that means. And I know that as I go and until I come again, you will continue. And I'm grateful for that. I want us to pray and then I'll turn it over to Dad. As I pray, I really hope that is something that you will pray, is that God will just make it very clear to you and then empower you to do whatever it is he is calling you to do. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much for calling me into ministry. I am so blessed to be able to experience your Spirit in my daily life, to know that you are using me to speak through me and make a difference on the planet the way you want to. I thank you, God, for this church that they make that possible, that through their generous supports and prayer and care and love, that they are the arms that are holding me up. And God, I pray for every person that's here today that you would open their hearts right now. God, show them what you are calling them to do. I know they want to be obedient. I know that they want to share the gospel. I know that they want to make a difference with the unreached, and they just need to know how, God. Show them this morning what you are calling them to do, and then empower them to do that, Lord. I pray that in all things we would be completely surrendered to anything, God. If you want our time, if you want our life, if you want our money, if you want our comfort, if you want our pain, God, whatever it is that you need to use so that your kingdom can advance, that you would take that, God, and that we would give it freely. Because our time is short and the end is near. And if we can make a difference so that more people are in heaven and you are more glorified, God, please don't let us miss that opportunity. I thank you for the ministry in Korea and what you have been doing there. And I pray you would continue to bless it if I'm there or not, and make a difference in these women's lives and in these students' lives and in these men's lives that you've allowed me to be able to impact. God, I pray for this ministry in India that you would provide more resources and people and opportunities to reach these unreached people groups, and that the ministries that they're doing through the orphanages and the schools and the medical clinics and the community training, that they would be effective, and that people would see the love of Christ and they would hear about the gospel clearly, and there'd be more and more churches that are being planted in these areas, and these pastors would be trained, and then we could see the gospel flourishing in what was, I hope one day, no longer an unreached area. God, I pray that you would use us on this planet in any way you need to. I praise you and I thank you for who you are. In your name I pray. Amen. Okay, Dad?
You know, one thing that I want to mention, when I was called to preach, I felt terribly inadequate. And I think that everyone who's called to ministry feels that way. I can't do this. And the reason we feel that way is because it's true. But the Bible says, faithful is he who hath called you, who also will do it. Anybody that has the call of God on their life has the enablement of God promised to them. Whatever God is speaking to your heart about, don't be afraid to surrender. The greatest thing in my life has been my ministry. And it scared me to death to get into it. But I would not take anything for that call. The call is what enables us. And so if you feel the call of God to be a foreign missionary, yes, there's mountains in the way, but God moves mountains. There's all kinds of problems, but God is a problem solver. And the safest place for you to be, I want you to hear this, is right in the center of God's will. It doesn't matter if God says, I want you to go and be a missionary to North Korea. You make sure that he said that before you go. But if he says go, that's the safest place on this planet for you. Because God will go with you. It may be that God just wants you to be a missionary here. And, you know, we can do that by making friends with people who are lost and beginning to train them, show them how to be saved, and how to share their faith with other people. It is a tremendously rewarding thing to do. Is Brother Jerry here? Yeah. But let's have a hymn of invitation. I want to give you an opportunity. It may be that God has laid on your heart to surrender to missions. Now, the direction may not be clear where you're going to go or what you're going to do. I don't think God ever gives us the whole plan right off the jump. He just says, go. And we all have a call in general to share the gospel and to train other people. But you may have a specific call this morning. you do when you surrender your will. Let me tell you how you do that. You just come up here to these altars and you just say, God, wherever you lead, I'll go. Whatever you want, I'll do. And that's all God is looking for. He will unfold in your life his plan. But it begins with surrender. So let's stand. What is our hymn, brother? The Foot of the Cross. Okay. This is your invitation. If you need to come and pray, if you just need to do anything, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, let me tell you, Jesus wants to save you. That's why you're here this morning. God has brought you here, and he has given you the gospel message that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He was buried. The third day he rose from the dead. So what about all this? That's the gospel, folks. If we add anything to that, we're messing up. If we take anything away from it, we're messing up. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. If you're a sinner, you qualify. And if you're lost, please don't leave here in that condition. Because Jesus stands ready to save you this morning. You say, well, Brother Allen, I wouldn't know what to do. I know I need to be saved, but I don't know what to do. You just step out when the music begins, and you come down here and you say, I need to be saved. I'll take it from there. I've been at this for over 40 years. I can help you with that. And so whatever the Lord lays on your heart, do this one thing. Do not quench the Spirit. Do what God says. Brother Jerry, listen.